From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 22nd, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
It took nearly 7 months, but the 83-foot dragger ship that sank in the New Meadows River in Harpswell during the January 10th winter storm has finally been removed. The U.S. Coast Guard took the unusual step of assuming control of the Jacob Pike salvage and cleanup, but as Carol Bousquet reports, abandoned derelict vessels remain a problem up and down Maine's coast.
I'd like to use a 50 and a 100.
Gotcha.
A little short for the 100 going around the boat and then back to here. The other side will be a lot shorter, so we can just do the straight 100 and a 25.
Understood.
Aboard a Coast Guard vessel in early August, federal and state pollution response officials are monitoring the 83-foot dragger Jacob Pike as she is being rigged with airbags to tow her out of the New Meadows River in Harpswell for disposal at Turner Island Marine Cargo in South Portland. In January, when the vessel sank, the Coast Guard sent divers down to handle immediate hazards, including pumping out 400 gallons of oily water and removing several batteries. But with hundreds of gallons of fuel left in the Jacob Pike's tanks, the Coast Guard wanted to remove it. Commander Frank Kulesa oversees response operations for the Coast Guard's Northern New England sector and says the vessel's owner, Cyrus Cleary, failed to handle the pollution threat and removal adequately, so they took control of the salvage operation.
And when that responsible party doesn't take the appropriate action, then we have the ability to open the oil spill liability trust fund to remove the pollution threat. And in circumstances where we can't remove the pollution from the vessel in its current condition, we can request and seek authorization under the Clean Water Act to remove the vessel of the wreck, clean it, and then dispose of it.
Cleary has pleaded not guilty to a misdemeanor charge of abandonment of a watercraft. If convicted, he could spend up to 6 months in jail and pay a fine of up to $1,000. But the Coast Guard estimates that more than $300,000 will have been spent on the operation, which Cleary could owe in restitution. Despite the wreck's scale, the Coast Guard says there have been no reports of contamination in wildlife or nearby oyster farms. And the Maine Department of Environmental Protection says it doesn't expect any residual pollution.
This is a hot topic up and down the state.
Paul Plummer, who is on the board of directors for the Maine Harbor Masters Association, says the problem of abandoned boats isn't limited to commercial vessels. Plummer, who is also Harpswell's harbor master, says that he's got a recreational boat to remove once the Jacob Pike is gone. Plummer says the boat was moored illegally and is now sinking. Plummer says he has had several derelict boats to contend with since the pandemic.
That big COVID boom, you know, where everyone was looking for a way to get away from each other. So the best thing to do was go buy some crappy old boat that that barely floated and go have some fun with your family and stay away from people. Well, now people are realizing, hey, it's really expensive to maintain these boats, even if it is some 12-foot or 16-foot little skiffs. You know, it's just easy for people to walk away because there isn't a whole lot of accountability.
Plummer says those boat owners also get charged with abandonment of a watercraft, but he says in one case, a boat owner pleaded financial hardship to the judge and was given just a $25 fine, so Harpswell got stuck with a bill of thousands of dollars to remove the boat. Portland Harbor Master Kevin Battle says he has to deal with two or three abandoned boats a year. He says when the owners can't sell them at market rate, they drop the price.
They'll undersell them to somebody who really doesn't have the wherewithal to own a boat.
The state's abandoned watercraft statute says 5% of any salvage value goes into the submerged lands fund to help municipalities pay for removal operations. But the Bureau of Submerged Lands reports that it never has enough funding to help municipalities remove derelict vessels and prefers to use what funding it has for infrastructure like public boat ramps.
Okay, just to nose into them, right? Hand these off.
Yep, roger that.
Now the Bureau, with the help of the Maine Harbor Masters Association, is creating an abandoned derelict vessel removal grant program that coastal communities could tap into when they need help with a salvage operation. The maximum grant would be $15,000 and require a 25% match. It's hoped the measure can go before lawmakers this fall. The abandoned watercraft statute, currently a misdemeanor, could also be strengthened to make vessel owners more accountable.
All right, putting a line on it.
With the Jacob Pike gone and the summer winding down, Paul Plummer with the Maine Harbor Masters Association says he plans to survey harbor masters in the fall to see just how many derelict boats are out there. The Bureau of Submerged Lands, meanwhile, is waiting to hear from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration about a $685,000 grant that it has just submitted to remove four large abandoned derelict vessels along Maine's coast that have been neglected for a decade or more. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
The Maine Commission on Public Defense Services is slowly staffing up a growing network of public defender offices. As Nicola Grisco reports, the commission is hopeful that the added defense attorneys will help put a dent in the backlog of 800 criminal cases in which defendants currently lack counsel.
The new public defender's office in Caribou is fully staffed with attorneys who will start at the end of the month. And hiring is underway for the public defender's office in Lewiston, which is expected to open after Labor Day. Recruitment has been more challenging for the new office in Bangor. Director Jim Billing says the Commission on Public Defense Services is actively recruiting at Maine and Massachusetts law schools for interns and lined attorneys.
What we really need to come out of this is for law students and private attorneys to hear the message from the state government that this public defender system is not going away, that we're going to expand it. There's going to continue to be jobs coming online in a predictable, orderly fashion, and that this is a valid career choice.
Billing says the commission will ask the legislature to authorize and fund the creation of additional public defender's offices in Cumberland and York counties and in the Midcoast region. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicola Grisco.
A new poll from the University of New Hampshire shows Vice President Kamala Harris extending her lead over former President Donald Trump in Maine. Harris leads Trump 55% to 38% in the new poll, more than doubling her margin from a previous UNH poll conducted last month, shortly after President Joe Biden withdrew from the race. Notably, the new poll found a statistical dead heat in Maine's more conservative 2nd congressional district. Trump carried that district and its single electoral college vote by wide margins in both 2016 and 2020. The poll also reflects a stark gender gap in voting preferences. Harris is leading nearly 2-1 with women voters, while Trump maintains a slight edge with men. Monthly home sales in Maine were up 10% in July compared to the same month last year. That's according to data from the Maine Association of Realtors. The median price for a single-family home was also up about 5% to nearly $400,000. Home sales increased most rapidly in Waldo and Hancock counties. Aroostook County remains the most affordable place to buy a home in Maine, with median prices holding steady at about $150,000. Cumberland County, meanwhile, has the highest median price, close to $600,000. Thousands of railroad workers in Canada went on strike today after contract negotiations broke down, and economists and transit officials in Maine are monitoring the situation closely to understand how the stoppage could affect Maine. UMaine researcher Stefano Tijerina studies Canada's international trade. He says the U.S. is the biggest market for Canadian oil exports and that some of that oil is transported by rail through Maine. If the work stoppage drags on, Tijerina says it could drive up the cost of Canadian imports.
We would probably see an increase in the price of oil, and we would probably see an increase in the commodities that we bring from Canada.
For now, though, he says it's still too early to say what the exact fallout will look like. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, paying close attention to nature. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.